in your life.
All right. Elohim Tov, everybody.
Kol Hazman. Elohim Tov.
Praise the Lord. We are here tonight. I'm going to say thank you for these cards, and then we're going to get started, okay? Francis, let me see her card in here. Nice card. You getting cards too, Pastor Ben?
Uh-uh.
No, you don't get cards?
I got two.
Every now and then? Well, that's good. I got 200. Francis Fought, okay. And she's from Tennessee, Prospect, Tennessee. So thank you for your card. I really appreciate it. Thank you. I'm going to bring my whole bag tomorrow, Pastor Ben.
Oh, that'll be nice.
I'll let you touch them.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. And she said her name is pronounced, last name is pronounced Fuka. Anyway, where's her card at? And where's her oh, here it is. Oh, she didn't write the first name on there either. Okay. Oh, this is Marcia Fuka. She's, because I guess most people mispronounce like Fuksa, oh. But it's Fuka, I guess, with an X.
Uh-huh.
All right, so thank you. And she is from wherever, Bellevue, N-E. What's N-E?
N-E.
Nebraska.
Nebraska? Cornhusker. All right. Praise God. Thank you. I just know Omaha there and the university. Okay, and then I got my card, my first birthday card. It's not my birthday yet, but this is my first birthday card, Pastor Ben.
All right.
And it says, this is the day the Lord has made. And in the middle it says, we will rejoice and be glad he made you. Happy birthday. Love and so many blessings, especially today from Mark and, well, we'll call him JJ. His either name is Jamie. And they sent me this great card. All right. I am off the hook. Everything I
is what the
Lord wants you to know. So God said he's going to make this simple, not just for us, but for all of the world and all of society, so that they know and understand what is going on. I want you guys to know one thing. Life is not about you. It's about God's plan for you.
Amen.
He made you for him.
Right.
Okay? And you don't need to stress over your life. He has a greater plan than yours anyway. So whatever you have going on now, he's going to definitely take care of. We're going to start off by reading 2 Peter chapter 3. You guys ready?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay. 2 Peter chapter 3. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Sharon, for praying over me. I needed that. I'm going to read this, and then we're going to have a great discussion about what God is doing, what God wants to show the world, okay, and concerning his plans, okay? Because I know everybody, all of us, we think that the earth is here for us, and it's about our plan. But God says he wants to talk to you about his plan, okay? Because I'm sorry, you're on his ride, okay? His earth, okay? All right, so here we are. Are you in 2 Peter chapter 3?
Yes.
All right. And it says, dear friends, let me start at verse 3. It says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is the coming? Where is this coming? He promised. Ever since the fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's words, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters, also the world of that time was deluded and destroyed. By the same word, the present heaven and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed his coming. That day will bring about the destruction of heaven of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt within the heat. But keep in mind, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, a home of the righteous. You guys got that?
Amen.
I'm going to read 14 because it's important. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with God. How do you stay spotless and blameless and at peace with God? By staying in relationship. Okay? How do you stay in relationship? By communicating with God. When you sin, you repent. Okay? You pray, you have conversations, you make sure that you're not ignoring God, and especially in your sin, that you are in a relationship. I don't want to explain what a relationship is. All of us know what a relationship is, right? We all know that if you mistreat somebody and you're in a relationship, you have to say you're sorry, right? We all know that, you know, if you don't talk to somebody for a long time, they kind of think that you don't want to be in a relationship. You understand? So we all know what a relationship is. So if you want to be made blameless and spotless and at peace with God, stay in relationship.
Pastor Sandy, Johnny, who want to know, is getting a tattoo of sin.
I don't know. Pray about it, Johnny. The Holy Spirit will tell you. Because I don't... I got a couple of them too, but I repented, so that's up to you. It says, but in mind, it says, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation.
Yes.
Our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote, with the wisdom of God, that the wisdom God gave to him. So, we're talking about the last days, and the first thing that God says is, don't they deliberately forget that the world received judgment before.
Right.
And that judgment came at the time of the flood. Understand? And that flood has been predicted that a judgment is going to come once again, just as it did when there was a flood.
Yes. Amen.
I'm going to ask the question. There are only two times in history that is mentioned in the Bible that judgment is to come upon the whole earth. Two times in Scripture that God is talking about a worldwide judgment coming. There's only two times. The first time was when?
Noah
and the ark. And I'm not talking about the destruction of Babylon. I'm not talking about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm talking about a worldwide destruction. Okay? It's only been mentioned of twice in the Bible. Okay? Now, the first time that it was mentioned, God did the whole world a favor by announcing to Noah, a man who was preaching righteousness, how long it would be before that judgment came.
Right.
Okay? So, I'm going to read this. It says, Noah started building the ark when he was 480 years old. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, verse 7, that Noah moved with fear. By faith, Noah, being warned of God's God of the things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. The construction of the ark took place during the 120-year period. So, in Genesis chapter 3, God, this is the favor that God does them, okay? He says in chapter 6, verse 3 of Genesis, the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Okay. Now, at the end of 120 years, judgment came. When judgment came, we knew it was 120 years because Noah was now 600 years old. And he said, and then the judgment came upon the earth. Okay? Now listen to what I'm telling you. It says both will begin during 120 years. What is both? Both world destructions will happen at the end of 120 years. Who determines when the count begins? God. Okay? God is the one that went to Noah and said, Noah, from this point on that I'm telling you,
yeah,
the world has 120 years. Okay? Jesus says, the same way it was in Noah's days is going to be that way in our day. Do you think that God would be so courteous to them as to give them a 120-year count so that they know when it's coming, even though they don't know the day or the hour, but they know the time and the season, and they even know when the 120 years is up? Do you think that God would be so courteous to them but not be that courteous to us to let us know that the world has been on a 120 year count? Okay. So, if God gave us 120 years, it has to be tangible to be able to count so that we see that God has given the world 120 years and you've got this much time to get it together. And we've been watching and watching and preaching righteousness. Let's continue on.
Amen.
Okay, now, when I did this, I said, in verse 6, it says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men. Now, I know with the prophecy of the spirit, that his spirit was not yet in the world at that time, but his spirit, as meaning the Holy Spirit, was not just in the world at that time, but the time of the spirit is 120 years. Now, but I wanted to see what he says, that his spirit will not always strive with men. What does this mean, to strive? The word strive in the Hebrew is din, which means to judge, to be a judge over it, to govern over it, to contend with it, or to plead. So God is saying he's not, the time of God pleading for you to be righteous is going to end. The time of God contending with you, because he's contending with you, because when somebody is wrestling and fighting against you, then you're contending with that person for position. God doesn't want to wrestle with you and fight with you forever and plead with you to live righteous. He says that day is going to come to an end at 120 years. That's what he was telling the people of the earth at that time. I'm tired of contending with you. I'm tired of pleading with you to live righteous, because man's heart wanted to live the way they want to, because we all have these awesome free wills that are so dumb sometimes, right? So now here we go. It says, let me read this. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, it says, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. How long did he wait for the ark to be prepared? 120 years, wherein a few, that is, 8 souls were saved. Now, this is what the Lord said to me today. Noah is only a type of Jesus.
Right.
He's a typology of Jesus Christ. Noah was an ark builder, but Jesus is a greater ark builder.
Yes.
And Jesus and Noah have both built an ark upon the earth. And Noah's ark had one door, and Jesus' ark has one door. Okay? And at a certain time, Jesus, just like Noah, is going to go up with 7 others.
Yeah.
Into the kingdom and be saved. Okay? So this ark is still on the earth. The 120-year count is not up yet, though.
Right.
You're still in the 100. You're on year 119. It's 2019. And tomorrow in the Hebrew class, we will begin to count the 119 years that God has us on right now.
Amen.
Okay? As we are coming to the end of the 120-year count. Now, this is not abstract or something that you have to pull out of thin air. I got one, Pastor Ben.
Oh.
This is not abstract or something you have to pull out of thin air. In the book of Psalms, God is going to absolutely 100% prove to you that he's been counting 120 years. Because not only is he going to do that, he's going to prophesy everything in the year. Okay?
Amen.
Now, let's go to Luke chapter 21. Hallelujah.
Must be a good message, Pastor. They're harassing us.
That's good. Let them harass. Just get rid of them.
Amen.
Bam, bam, bam.
You can harass all the people you want during the tribulation.
There you go.
Right now we busy.
Amen.
So get rid of them. So in Luke chapter 21, we're going to be reading verse 34. And it says, be careful, or your heart, listen to me, you guys, or your heart. God is saying, be careful of what? Your heart. Because you know what your heart wants to do?
Yeah.
Stray away. I want to get away from this. Okay? I want to get far away from God. Because the further I get away from God, the less I have somebody telling me what I have to do.
Yep.
I don't want somebody telling me what to do. You know how when you become a teenager, say, I want to get my own place and move out. Why? Because you don't want nobody telling you what to do, right? You want to come in late when you want to come in. You want to watch what you want. You want to make as much noise as you want, right? And so God knows that our hearts want to move as far away from him as possible. So even if you're born again and you love Jesus, you still have the same heart. Even though you have a different spirit, you still have that same fleshly heart.
Yeah.
So God is saying, be very careful of your heart, okay? He'll say, so be careful or your heart will be weighed down with dispensation and drunkenness and the anxieties of life. I always say the dispensation and the drunkenness, we got it under control. But the anxieties of life, okay, because we all got to get up, go to work. We all got to do things, right? And if those anxieties of life grab hold of your heart and reach up and choke out the part of you that is supposed to be alive, then you can lose your salvation. You understand?
Amen.
Listen to this. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, good word, Pastor.
So he says, He says, don't be weighed down with the dispensation and drunkenness or the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. Like a trap how? While you're having anxieties of life, while you're doing things,
yes,
because you've strayed away from God. You don't want to be in that environment anymore. Look, it's going to happen to a lot of Christians. God is saying to fight it. It says, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. What's going to happen? A trap is going to come that's going to affect everybody on the whole earth. Are you guys okay?
Amen.
All right. It says, for it will come upon all those who live on the whole, on the face of the whole earth. So it says, be always on watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man.
Yes.
Okay. I'm thinking about a God who has prophesied to the world everything that has happened. There is no history in this world that the Bible has not prophesied and it came true. And he said it thousands of years before they happened. I'm thinking about in Switzerland the other day, they were talking about all of the people that are so desiring and wanting to have the chip put in them so that they don't have to deal with cards and cash anymore. They say it's becoming a cashless society because there are so many people that want to use the chip to for their purchases. It says that they're slowly becoming a cashless society. Why would anybody want to take a chip for the convenience? But they miss the fact that God, in 90 AD, when the book of Revelation was being written, had already said, in the last days, you will be forced to take a mark. And it doesn't say on your hand. It says in your hand or in your forehead. Okay? So God had already prophesied this, and now they're doing it in Switzerland. Okay? How can God prophesy 2,000 years before Hitler's born, where he would be born, the year that he would die, and prophesied that he would, that the Jews would be in Germany at that time when he dies. But it's already prophesied in the book of Esther. So God has already prophesied to all of us world history.
Man.
And all God is saying is, listen to what I'm saying. There's only two times in world history that there will be a world judgment. Once was the flood, and the second time is now.
Yes.
In 2019, exactly 119 years after the century turned, 1900. Why is the book of Psalms the 19th book of the Bible?
19.
Why is the book of Psalms the 19th? Did God make it the 19th book? And why is it that Psalms, every book prophesies exactly what's going to happen in that year in the book of Psalms? God has been prophesying this. I'm trying to explain to you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're doing, life is not about you. You're on God's plan.
Yeah.
And your job is to say, I want to remain on God's plan, because rather I'm here or rather I'm gone, I will be with God.
Amen.
Let's continue. Let me hear. Here we go. Now, as it was in the days of Noah, let's go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 37, And what does it say? But who's speaking here anyway? Jesus is saying, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Why is he saying it's going to be just like the days of Noah? Because there's only two times in the Bible that 120 years is going to determine a worldwide judgment. Amen. And we're at the brink of it. The Lord said, you're off the hook, Sandy. Just tell them what I tell you. He said, you're off the hook. You just tell them what I'm telling you, and then you're done, okay?
I like that.
So listen, it's only two times. It don't take, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. You got two times in Scripture that there's a worldwide judgment. One was counted at 120 years, and Jesus says, the one who says it's impossible to lie, he says the second time a worldwide judgment comes is going to be just like it was the first time. It's going to be a 120-year countdown. And then he takes the book of Psalms and puts it in the 19th book of the Bible, and then he prophesies every event for 119 years so that you'll know year by year how close. The Lord told me 1948 was only the 48th year of the 119 years. 1967 was the 67th year of the 120th year. 1973 was only the 73rd year of the 120 years. 2000 was the 100th year of the 120th year.
Yes.
And we're still not scared because people love to sin. And look, there's some people who don't love to sin, but sorry, you're in this body, you're going to sin. And if you're going to sin, it's really good to have Jesus on your side.
Well,
because if you slip up in sin, you still got a very understanding Father who loves you with all his heart. Don't you love God? I would love the moments when my mom would say, I'm not going to whoop you.
Okay.
But I'm just letting you know I'm not pleased. I would go, thank you, Mama. I'm going to put this extension cord away.
This time.
Because she loved me so much. You understand?
Yeah.
There is a judgment coming.
Amen.
And God did give us a countdown.
Yeah.
Okay? Okay, we're going to continue talking. Because this is all laid out.
Yeah.
Okay, now, this is what the Lord wants to show you. Let's go to Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. Well, if you have your paper, Exodus chapter 7, verse 1.
And they did get the paper, Pastor.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
If you got your paper, we're in Exodus chapter 7. You're following me. Okay? And listen what it says. This blew my mind, but the Lord showed me this today. And it says, the Lord said to Noah, okay, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. The Lord said, what generation was it? He said it was the generation of it was the end of the generation of the 120 years. That was a 120 year generation. You understand? So the Lord says, I have found you righteous before me in this generation. In what generation? The generation that I told you to begin building the ark. The 120 year generation that I told you. Now, there's a guy that wrote a book. Before 1988, it was called 88 Reasons for 88. You guys never heard of that book? It was a big seller. This guy sold a lot of these books. Now, I guess, you know, you can find them in any 99 cent store or whatever, right? But it was called 88 Reasons for 88. You know what his premise was? 40 years is a generation. And therefore, since Israel got rebirthed in 1948, at the end of those 40 years in 1988 is going to be the end of the generation. And therefore, we're getting raptured and we're going home. It was called 88 Reasons for 88. Very popular book. So when I heard about it, I said, where did he get that idea?
Right.
Here, Numbers chapter 32, verse 13. The Lord's anger burnt against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until the whole generation of those who had done evil in his sight was gone. So for 40 years, God calls it a generation.
Right.
God said that the 40 years was a generation. But God also says that 70 years is a generation. And God is saying to you that 120 years at Noah's time was his generation.
Right.
So what generation are we in? We're in the generations that's going to be just like Noah's generation. It's a 120-year generation. You're on the 119th year of the 120th year generation.
I get it.
Praise God, Pastor Ben. Thank you. Listen to this. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 36, he says, "Truly, truly, I tell you, all this will come upon this generation." He's talking to the Pharisees. He's telling them, "Your temple is going to be destroyed in this generation." Did their temple get destroyed in that generation?
Yes,
how long was that generation? 70 years. Because God made a 70-year prophecy that that temple was going to be destroyed.
Yes.
And so therefore, if Christ would have lived, the temple would have been destroyed in the 70th year of Jesus' life. But Jesus died on the cross, and then he prophesied to them that in this generation, your temple is going to be destroyed. And it was destroyed, right? That's why we have that Western Wall on the wall there, because we know that temple actually existed behind the Kotel Hammurabi, right? It existed behind the Western Wall. There was a temple there, and it did get destroyed in 70 AD, and Jesus prophesied it, and it happened. Okay. So you're still going against somebody who tells you things that are going to happen before they happen, and they do happen. And then we can't even really get into Psalms, because when we get into Psalms, it just becomes absolutely like, God, you're just showing off. This is just ridiculous, because you have things prophesied in Psalms. The tsunami in 2004,
right,
on the 26th, and God put it in Psalms 104 so that you know that it's going to happen. And we're still saying Psalms 104 stands for 2004, and God prophesied that there'd be a flood in that year, and he put it in the 26th script verse, and it happened December 26th. We thought that the prophecy was going to pass because it was already the 26th of December, and there'd been no flood all year. It's not going to happen. It's almost January 1st, so no flood happened this year, Lord. So what was this prophecy? Well, the 26th of December, there was a tsunami. And God said, told you. So God is prophesying to history, and he's telling us. What a courtesy call.
I know, right?
And let's continue. So Psalms 1 through 120 represents 1901 to 2020. I'm off the hook. I just told you. Psalms 1 through 120 represents 1900 to 2020. The 120th year, both worldwide judgments are in 120 years. Both will begin in the 120th year. Question: who determines when the count begins?
God.
Is that why he put the Psalms in the 19th book of the Bible? Because in Psalms 47, he writes that all the world leaders all over the world will come together and make a decision for the people of Abraham.
Yeah.
And they all met in the UN in 1947 and made a decision that Israel's going to get their land back. It's already in Psalms 47, because it was the 47th year of the 120 count. In 1948, in Psalms 48, it talks about the rebirth of the nation of Israel. So God already prophesied that. 19 years later, they have the Six-Day War, and God prophesied that. And so everything that God has been prophesied, even in 1990, when they shot all the Scud missiles from Iraq over into Israel,
oh, yeah,
And if you read Psalms 90, what does it say? God will protect them and no harm will come to them. Not one bomb touched Israel. And they was just shooting them off. And they were just popping in the air and falling in the water. Nothing hit Israel. And so God fulfilled that. So God is not only gave you a count, he's giving you a year-by-year prophecy and update as he goes along so you can stay with him. What a God.
That's crazy.
Man wrote the Bible. Yeah, man wrote the Bible. So now this is how Psalms is written. Psalms 1 through 41 stands for 1901 to 1941. Okay? Psalms 42 to 72 is 1942 to 1972. Psalms 73 to 89 is the Leviticus Psalms, and it's from 1973 to 1989. Psalms 90 to 106 is the Numbers Psalms, and it's from 1990 to 2006. And Deuteronomy Psalms is 107 to 119, which stands from 2007 to 2019. Then the book of Psalms makes a big change in Psalms 120. Let's go to Psalms 120. You guys got your Bibles open?
Amen.
You see right under 120, what does it say? The song of ascent. What does it mean to ascend? To go up. Okay, so Psalms 20 is a whole new, it's called the Genesis Psalms. This means a whole new thing is going to happen in Psalms 120. Okay, now in Psalms 120, the Jews are speaking to God as if the trouble of the world has come upon them and tribulation has begun. In Psalms 120, for the next seven chapters, is such a complete description of the tribulation that you laugh when you read it, because when you get to the middle of it, you see a worldwide war has begun and Israel is in trouble. You see in Psalms 22, they've rebuilt the temple and they're going to the temple. So they're all doing this same thing. So this is the song of ascent, okay? Shir ha-mi'alot, or mi'alot, mean the going ups, okay? Now, Matthew chapter 24. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 24.
Pastor Sandy, in one version it says prayer of deliverance under Psalms 120.
No, right there.
Uh-huh.
This one up here, right there.
Song of ascent.
That, not song of ascent. You see there?
Yes.
That's it.
Amen.
It never says song of ascent until it gets to 120.
Amen.
There's no song of ascent until you get to 120. And listen, Psalms 120 is a Genesis Psalms, which means this is a new beginning. This is something new that's happening. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Is Jesus Christ, as they ask him this question, does he start rattling off things that are going to happen in the 1900s? Does he do that? Watch this. Okay. You guys with me?
Yes.
It says, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when the disciples came to him to call his attention to the building. Do you see all these things? He asked. I tell you the truth. Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. That happened in 70 AD. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of the coming and the end of the age? I want to know some end time stuff, okay? Jesus immediately takes them to 1900s. Watch this, okay? Jesus says, watch out that no one deceives you, all you black Hebrew Israelites. Make sure no one deceives you and you get caught up in some cult and start hating the Jewish people because somebody told you you're an original Hebrew. That's weird. The Bible tells you your history. I'm sorry. Commercial's over. Okay. Jesus answered, "Watch that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming that I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be famine and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of signs." When did nations rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms? 1914. So Jesus immediately starts telling them about something that's going to happen in 1914. Oh, there's going to be a world war. Nations are going to rise against nations. Kingdoms are going to rise against kingdoms. And he says there's going to be famines and earthquakes. When was the famines and earthquakes? The flu virus that killed 500,000 Americans, I think, in 1913. And the earthquakes that were happening in San Francisco in 1906. And all these things that were happening. Jesus immediately takes them to the 1900s and starts telling them things that are going to happen. Listen to this. It says, all these things are the beginning of trouble. If you go down to 32, now he tells them also something's going to happen in the 1900s. He says, "Now learn the lesson of the fig tree. As soon as you see its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation," what generation? God, stop me today. What generation? The 70 years after that? No. The 120 years that started in 1900 till that 120 years is old. He said, this generation. Why this generation? Because this generation is going to be just like the generation of Noah. It's going to be 120 years. Welcome to year 119.
We didn't know this.
Listen. I'm trying to tell you. The Lord said, you're off the hook, Sandy. Look. You're off the hook. Tell them what I told you, and you're off the hook. I'm off the hook, okay? Life can be beautiful, but it's not about you. God has plans for you. Do you know God has eternal plans for both of you? You like trying to plan your next 3 years. God said, I got plans for the next 3,000 years. For you. So don't ever let the world get you caught up in you. Because it's not about you. It's about God's eternal plan for you.
Yes.
Jesus did not rise out of the ground like Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Okay.
He walked around.
Man.
This is the body that you've inherited. You understand? He walked around. He hugged people. He ate.
Yep.
You didn't inherit a ghost like, oh, I'm just going to float on a cloud like in Bugs Bunny and me. I'm just going to be floating on a cloud, and that's how eternity is going to be. We're just going to play harps and float on clouds. For eternity? That's not it. God has plans for us.
Amen.
Preach.
And he wants you to know, look, I was courteous enough to give them a 120-year warning. I've given you a 120-year warning. When you saw Israel come back into to the world, you should have been even more warned. When you saw the 1967 war 19 years later, and you know that was prophesied, you should have been warned.
Yes.
So we have to understand, God is still on his plan.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Let me finish here.
Preach, Pastor.
So he says, now check this out. He says in verse 24, he says, now learn the lesson of the fig tree. As soon as you see its twigs and timber, he says, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things happen, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation, this 120 years, will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. But he says, now learn this one thing. No one knows the day or the hour. Please don't tell me what day or what hour in 2020 the church is leaving. Because you don't know. Amen. And I don't know.
Amen.
And there are exactly about 20 different rapture scenarios.
Perfect scenarios.
Perfectly written. That we can all get excited about.
Right.
You can talk about a Hanukkah one. You can talk about a spring one. We can talk about a Pentecost one. We can talk about an after Pentecost one. A Rosh Hashanah one. Then we can get into a Tabernacles one. And then we had even had a Yom Kippur one, right? So, and they all match perfectly with the rapture.
Right.
Okay? You think God didn't do that on purpose? He said, I told you, you're not going to know. Pick the door. If there's 20 doors, you can't.
Right.
Okay? Amen. So, now listen to this. But he says, as it was in the days of Noah, this is Jesus talking, at the end of that 120 years, okay? So it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the day before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up till the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That means that it is not going to be a day of warning.
Right. Right.
It is not going to be a day that you can say, oh, there's 3 days of darkness. And now we know that in 3 days the rapture is going to happen. There's not going to be a complete blackout and people running all over the world trying to figure out where we're going to eat. That's not going to happen. I love the guy on Point Preparedness. I like him as a guy, but I'm not buying anything preparing for the tribulation, because when the rapture happens, it's going to be a day that people are eating, drinking, yep, marrying, giving in marriage, great, hanging out at the mall.
Yep.
Thinking that life is going to be the same as always.
Yep.
And he says, at that time, two will be in one place. One will be taken and the other one left. Okay?
Amen.
And so that day will take you by surprise.
Yes.
Thank you. And what will happen? It says two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. That's very clueless. I mean, kind of big clue, because grinding at the mill either means spring or summer. That's wheat,
right,
and barley, okay? And it says, one will be taken and the other one left. Therefore, watch, because you do not know the day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of his house had known at the time of night that the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have had his house broken into. So you also must be ready. How are we going to be ready if we don't know the day and the hour?
Stay ready.
Stay ready.
You stay ready. But guess what? You know the season.
Yes.
Jesus was mad at the Pharisees because they didn't know the time and the season that he was coming into the world. And if they had knew the scriptures, they would have known that the Messiah was amongst them. Okay?
Yes.
Listen, we're supposed to know. We're not children of darkness. We're children of light. He says we are not like the children of darkness. We are supposed to know.
Yes.
And if you're a Christian and you don't know you're living in the last day, wake up. We're in it.
Amen.
Tomorrow at the Hebrew class.
Club.
Yeah. Club, class. We're going to get back to talking about the very first bride. And that is who? Eve. Semech. The helpmate. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Numerical value of Semech? 120. When Semech sinned, did she bring judgment on the whole world?
Yes.
So nothing's changed.
Nothing.
You understand? So Semech is 120. The flood happens at 120. God's counting 120. Moses gives up his authority at 120. Samson pitches out the pillars and brings judgment. The 100 and at the pillars numerical value 120. So judgment has always been, from the time of the creation of Eve, God has set judgment at 120. And marriage at 120. Because she got married, but she also brought forth judgment. So we are going to go through that, because that's a lot more Hebrew, and I want more Hebrew people with me when we go through that. So we'll do that tomorrow. Okay?
The church is the bride, and we brought the world into sin. And
that's right. That's right.
So we're Eve.
We are Eve. You guys think you were great? You think you're a great bride? You're not a great bride. It's like
we're Eve.
We would never do what Eve did. You are Eve. You just marry in the second Adam, and your sins are covered.
Right.
That's why Adam ate the fruit, so that he could die with her.
Yep.
And so Christ ate so that he could die with you. So you're no special bride. Oh, if Eve hadn't done that, you are Eve. Okay?
Wow.
So we're going to study Eve tomorrow. And we're going to study all of these 120 years that God keeps telling us the same thing. The judgment comes in 120.
Yeah.
The wonderful thing is, all you Christians out there who love Jesus, you got a head start.
Yeah.
You can repent. You can get it ready. You can get as excited as the 112 Revelation thing. You can really start living for God, you know, because I know a lot of you went back into the world. Move back out.
Right.
I know you moved back in with her. Move back out. Okay. So praise God. So we'll talk tomorrow. Is that it?
That's
praise
it.
The Lord.
Pray for your people.
Huh? Yes. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we want to pray over all of our YouTube family, Father God, worldwide. Father God, I got messages from Africa. I got messages from China, from the UK, Australia, New Zealand. Lord, it is beyond what we thought, Father God. And I just thank you that Pastor Ben had the vision that this would happen. And I just thank you in Jesus' name. And I ask you for forgiveness for my doubt, because I thought he was crazy. But it has truly happened. We pray for all those people all over the world. Warn your people. Stay ready. The Lord is coming. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Excellent, Pastor.
Hallelujah.
So the enemy couldn't stop the service.
Okay.